Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Berger, speaker. Today on the broadcast, we wish to begin a new series of studies which we are going to entitle Christ in the Four Gospels. And of course, we are referring to the Gospel according to St. Matthew, St. Mark, St. Luke, and St. John. Those four writers write of our Lord Jesus Christ. They are not biographies. Our Lord Jesus Christ's life is not touched upon. From the time that he was just a babe in Nazareth, and they went back to live in Nazareth, with one exception, until his public ministry begins, and that one exception is his life is touched upon when at the tender age of 12, our Lord Jesus Christ stayed in Jerusalem, much to his parents' consternation, and he was there talking with the doctors of the law about the things of God, and when they rebuked him for not going along with the company back to their home, then he told them, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" Now, it could hardly be a biography if his life is not touched upon except that one brief moment in Luke's Gospel. Now, these four men write with different aspects of our Lord Jesus Christ, looking at him in different ways. And that is a marvelous thing. Now, we have the first three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, are called the Synoptic Gospels, which mean they write in a similar pattern, a similar way. They're synoptic. They're synchronized. Now, the Gospel according to St. John is unique. It is different from the others. Now, it does not contradict, but you will notice the difference in the style of these different writers. Now, they don't all say the same things about our Lord Jesus Christ, and there are, if you compare the Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels particularly, if you compare them carefully, you will find some apparent discrepancies in what they had to say about the Lord. But when you really run it out, you find out that they are not discrepancies at all. They're just simply looking at the Lord in different ways. Now, there is a puzzle here that we must settle. John closes out the Gospels, the four Gospels, in his epistle, that is his writing, with the last verse of the four Gospels. It reads like this: "There are also many other things that which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written if they should be thoroughly explored." Now, one would say, why do we find so much repetition in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke? Why not each writer bring in more wonderful things about our Lord Jesus, more wonderful applications of the truth of God concerning him? Well, there's a reason for it. God wants to see him, wants us to see him in his various characters. Now, Matthew writes of the king, Mark writes of the servant, Luke writes of the man, John writes of him as of the Lord. Now, this is very different, and there's a reason for all of this. Matthew writes of him as a king, Mark as a servant, Luke as a man, just a man. We will pursue these when we touch on those individual Gospels. We're going to just give an introduction to the study today. But when we touch on those individual Gospels, we will explore them in detail, and you will see a remarkable development. Now, this is foreseen in history, in the Old Testament, history gone by before the Lord ever came. We see these four characteristics, these four types of which our Lord Jesus Christ fulfills in the writers of the four Gospels. And I'm going to read those as they are recorded in the Believer's Bible commentary by William MacDonald. And they're very thorough, and they're very, very wonderful, I think, as far as I'm concerned. Now, we read of him in four different ways as the branch. The branch is described. He is the branch, and the last the last verses of the Bible, Revelation 22, carry that thought clear through that he is a branch of Israel and that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ is glorified there. And I just think I'll just read the last, one of the last verses in the Bible, Revelation chapter 22. Here it is. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel and do testify of these things. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. Now we're going to see him as the branch, and we're going to see him in a different way, as indeed he is the servant. He is told to be, said to be the divine servant. And you notice these four different ways in which they treat our Lord Jesus. First of all, in Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 and 6, we read, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise up unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign. Now here he's seen as a king, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth, and his name whereby he shall be called is the Lord our righteousness. Now notice, please, in Zechariah 9:9, Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Now here we have a wonderful behold. That word behold is an arresting word. In the Navy, when they give out an announcement, they say, now hear this, and you better listen. When you have the word behold, it's an intense word. Our attention is demanded. Now there are four beholds and four branches, and we just read two of them. And they are both occupied with the king. Now let's get on to another one. Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 8. Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they that are men wondered at, and behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. Now he's called in Jeremiah 23, the king as the branch. Here it's his servant as the branch. Now notice also Isaiah chapter 42, in verse 1, Behold, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth, I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. You see, he is seen here as the servant in both cases. He's seen, first of all, as referring to Joshua the high priest, and thy fellows that sit before thee, for there are men wondered at, I will bring before thee my servant the branch, and then here also in Isaiah 42 and verse 1. All right. Now Luke brings him forth as a man. Now this is seen in the Old Testament under the figure of a branch, and under the figure also of not only the branch, but as the man. Now let's notice particularly what it has to say about the man. Luke, Zechariah 6 and 12, we read, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. The man, his name is the branch. Here's the man. Now, also, in Isaiah 4 and 2, listen to this, please. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious for them that are escaped of Israel. How wonderful. And here he is, seen as the man and as the branch. Now in Zechariah 12 and 6 and 12, you see him under both figures. Behold the name of the man whose name is the branch. Now he's the man, and he's the branch at the same time in the same verse. And then of course in Isaiah 4 and verse 2, he is seen as the branch of the Lord to be beautiful and glorious. Now that we must attach to John's gospel. John writes of him as the Lord, as prophesied in the Old Testament, the branch of the Lord, let me read it again, in that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious for them that are escaped of Israel. Now we have four references four references to the branch and four references to the man. Behold the man. And they are exactly fit, the four Gospels as they write them. We will notice this as we develop it in detail. Now let's go into the subject of the qualification of the writers. Matthew was a publican. He was a tax gatherer, as we read there in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at the meat in his house, the house which was his house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Now, notice, please. He was a tax gatherer. He was one of the hated publicans. He was a servant of the Romans. He collected taxes from the Jewish people. The Romans were fearful that the Jewish people would dodge their taxes. So what did they do? They conscripted men from the Jewish race that knew the Jewish people, and they were the tax gatherers. Now, they couldn't get by, could they? And he was sitting at the receipt of custom. He was a tax gatherer. And certainly, he would be willing to write about the king, wouldn't he? He knew the oppression. He was fully aware of the oppression of the Romans. Now, I'm not sure that he chose that line of service on his own volition. I think probably the Romans laid hold of him. Now, they were despised. The publicans were despised. The tax gatherers were despised, and for a good reason. They would tell the people how much they owed the government of Rome. In many instances, they told them more than they actually owed, and they collected the difference. Now, we have a faint picture of this in the preaching of John the Baptist. John the Baptist warned the publicans. He says, do not collect more than is permitted you. Which, of course, leads us to believe that they indeed were collecting more than they should. Now, Matthew writes of the coming king. We will discover this and explore this in further detail. There is a beautiful arrangement here. We want to catch the significance of this fourfold view of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we trust that in broadcasts to come, we will develop him and we will see the wonderful construction of the Scriptures as prophesied in the Old Testament and as fulfilled when our Lord came into this world. Our Father, we pray particularly that you will bless this series of studies. We ask it as we give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.